What is propaganda? The dictionary says it's information, ideas, or rumors deliberately spread widely to help or harm a person, group, movement, institution, nation, etc. You may be familiar with the term propaganda because it's associated with the Nazis in World War II. It was brilliantly used by the National Socialist German Workers' Party in the years leading up to and during Adolf Hitler's leadership of Germany from 1933 to 45. This propaganda gave them, the Nazis, the conduit needed for acquiring and maintaining power and for the implementation of their policies. Dr. Joseph Goebbels, head of Germany's Ministry of Public Enlightenment and Propaganda, was a master of propaganda for Adolf Hitler and the NSDAP. He is looked on even today as the architect of modern spin doctor techniques. The pervasive use of propaganda by the Nazis is largely responsible for that word. And today, that word literally derives from what we experienced during World War II. The sad reality is that many people today are being sold a bill of goods from religion to politics that is tailored to make one think a certain way. The idea that today's media is unbiased is actually quite humorous. From the left-leaning liberal MSNBC to right-leaning Fox News, today's news on TV and the internet is now called opinion news. Journalism was supposed to keep an unbiased view of the facts, but that no longer exists. I like to call it sensationalized news today. You find it on TV, blogs, radio, etc. It's everywhere. We as believers need to be on guard and prove everything we hear in the light of word and relevant truth. Philosopher and theologian Søren Kierkegaard said this: there are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true, and the other is to refuse to believe what is true. And we fight that on a day-to-day basis at this ministry. Today, I would like to look at three aspects of propaganda that affect each and every one of us in one way or another. We have media propaganda, we have internet propaganda, and we have religious propaganda. Let's start with media propaganda. Today, the left-leaning media as a whole can be caught using propaganda on a daily basis. For instance, the Republican Party, and I would like to add this caveat, I am not a Republican. I think the Republicans have sold out conservatives, and I'm not really political anyway. I prefer to stay out of it. But needless to say, the Republican Party gets smeared as a racist party on shows like Saturday Night Live or CNN on a regular basis. But what's interesting to note is that the Republican Party did not have anything to do with like the Ku Klux Klan. That was invented by the Democratic Party. But of course, you're not going to hear that today because of propaganda. The media consistently labels Republicans with the epithet of being racist or Klan members, and it's completely not true. Now, I imagine in both parties you probably do have an element of racism, but as a whole, historically, that's not where the Republican Party came from. Remember how hard it was for the media to bring in, I don't know if you remember the Fort Hood murderer, Nadal Hassan, and his ties to Islam. And the media didn't want to talk about that. They didn't want to bring in any of these Muslim ties. All you heard about was the fact that he was an army psychiatrist. All too often, the media is quick to label Christians and Bible believers as extreme and dangerous, but when the tables are turned, they seem to ignore it. I thought this was kind of interesting. Our own president made this shocking comment regarding small town America. He said, "So it's not surprising then that they get bitter. They cling to guns or religion or antipathy to people who aren't like them or anti-immigrant sentiment or anti-trade sentiment as a way to explain their frustration." So you can kind of see through the lines here the blending of religion with racism. You might remember our last president would go out of his way to talk about Muslim being a religion of peace. And of course, we know that's not necessarily the case. The idea that Islam as a whole is a religion of peace is another use of propaganda that we constantly see. I have to always wonder why liberals don't really have an issue with Islam, but they have an issue with biblical religion. Haven't you ever wondered that? It's always, they seem to accept Islam with open arms, but biblical religion, they'll produce videos against, like what Bill Maher did this video against religion. They go out of their way to try to attack Christianity or biblical religion. And I truly do think that because the enemy of our enemy is our friend, I think that's, in manner of speaking, I think that's what they're, I think that's the logic behind it. I think it's a means to an end. If they can use some other group to help attack what they hate, then they are going to perpetuate it, or in this case, leave out certain key elements of information, which again is propaganda. I know there are many Muslims out there who just want to live in peace. But the problem today is a lot of these Muslims are in the minority, and that minority is shrinking. With the Muslim Brotherhood gaining footholds now in Sudan, Egypt, Libya, Syria, Saudi Arabia, and other places, even like the Philippines, militant Islam is now a serious force and will become much more powerful in the years to come. Saeed Qutb, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood in the 1950s and 60s, developed the doctrine of jihad. And the radical group Hamas is believed to be an offshoot of the Palestinian Muslim Brotherhood. This jihad came from verses like this. This one's out of the Quran in 9:123. O you who believe, fight those of the unbelievers who are near to you and let them find in you hardness. They have a book called the Hadith, and it's translated, or the translation is tradition. And these were supposed narrations that were obtained from the Prophet Muhammad, but this came about many years later after his death. So a lot of this, I believe, was probably interjected to kind of add to this whole idea that they have against anyone who is not Muslim and to convert by the sword. It's interesting in this book, the Hadith in Bakari 52:177, it says, Allah's apostle said, the hour will not be established until you fight with the Jews, and the stone behind which a Jew will be hiding will say, O Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me, so kill him. In Muslim 133 from the Hadith, the messenger of Allah said, I have been commanded to fight against people till they testify that there is no God but Allah, that Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. In 130, it says, the messenger of Allah said, I have been commanded to fight against people so long as they do not declare that there is no God but Allah. This is what we're seeing, the rise of militant Islam. This is where they're gaining a lot of their information, from the Hadith. Of course, if you read Daniel's vision and the ten toes, we of course believe that those are not European nations, but those are Middle Eastern nations, Islamic nations. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. I think this is kind of interesting myself. It says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahshua and for the word of Yahweh, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. It's interesting to note that militant Islam today still beheads those that stand against it. I don't think that's any coincidence that we see the prophecy in Daniel and see that some of Yahweh's people were beheaded for standing for his word. Now, one of the next, how do you put this? It's almost like a way for people to bring in their their ideological concepts by using the law. None of us is against, none of us is for someone bullying another person. But now we have this huge push by politicians to stop what they call bullying. And of course, it's horrible if you look at some of the bullying issues that have happened in the past with, almost stalkers on through Facebook and whatnot, different ways that they've caused harm to other people. But I am leery about laws that squelch freedom of speech. And we seem to be seeing that with these bullying laws or even hate crime laws. Gail Geringer, child advocate, let me change the slide here. I think that's the wrong slide.
So it's kind of
stop that.
Encyclopedia-ish.
I think we're in the wrong order there. Gail Geringer, child advocate for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, advises legislators not to push new legislation each time the media highlights a new bullying incident, saying maybe a new law is needed in your state to deal with a situation, but don't rush to do it. Sit down. Really talk about what happened. She adds, I think school officials have gotten really frightened because of what's been occurring, and it's much easier to take a zero-tolerance approach than just label everything quickly as bullying and pass it on to someone else to deal with rather than try to work out a creative solution within the school that's a best for everyone involved. I have to wonder about these knee-jerk reactions. You know, you see something happen and let's say someone was bullied and they committed suicide, or they were bullied and beaten, or whatever happened. You hate to see that. But then these knee-jerk reactions by politicians to just start writing laws, it leaves the door open for all sorts of different things that can be interjected under the scene. And I do believe that there are some politicians that would love to get rid of biblical religion in this country. There was one noted politician who was quoted saying, you never let a serious crisis go to waste. And what I mean by that, he said, it's an opportunity to do things that you could not do before. So we need to be careful, I think, as a nation when we start passing these laws, because the next thing you know, freedom of speech is gone, and the next thing you know, we are a fascist nation or we're a communist nation, and we're getting close to that. All right, well, you kind of saw a bit of the video I was getting to, but what about this media stereotype being perpetuated regarding stupid fathers? We see this attack on fatherhood in many commercials on TV ads. A 2008 study by a fatherhood advocacy group noted that fathers are all too often portrayed negatively on TV sitcoms, TV shows, and the media. They often portray fathers as hateful, uninterested in their families, or not nearly as smart as the kids in the family. This dumbing down of the male role in the family can cause some who are bombarded by this, especially children, to think this is normal and somehow the father is an idiot who really does not know best. There was a commercial by Fiber One, and it says a wife uses her wisdom to trick a stupid man into eating healthy food, stupid man being her husband. You know, Windows 7 commercial, a dad and his kids keep fidgeting and moving and messing up family photos. Mom goes online to swap in better headshots to create the image of the perfect family. Eggo commercial said, dad relaxes while pretending to make breakfast and serves fast food. Mom snarks and asks if he made coffee too, but everyone loved the fast food. T-Mobile, mother warns teenage daughter not to associate with an alleged juvenile delinquent, but to pick better men. The girl asks, like dad and Uncle John, mom affirms that they are good men. Outside, dad and friend play stunt tractor. Boys will be boys. The teenage rolls her eyes and goes back to the phone. We see this kind of stuff all the time. In fact, if Randy, if you can cue that video up, this was just give you an idea.
Fascinating. So it's kind of encyclopedia-ish.
It is an encyclopedia. No-ish.
Tom, I thought you were going to wash the dog.
Yes. She's working on a school project. I'm kind of helping her out.
Tom, leave her alone. Tom!
Fast, powerful Verizon DSL. and all the tools that come with it.
So there you go. Another example of just the stupid dad. Doesn't know anything, you know, probably can barely tie his shoes in the morning. Just a dumb idiot just there in the family. And then you have to wonder why we see bullying in schools. Why we see kids going crazy, not respecting authority. When we strip fathers of their roles and the role that Yahweh has given them. So now we have children who are just doing crazy things and we can't control them. It's a cause and effect situation. There's always an effect for everything that we do. Got a few minutes left here. I'd like to talk a little about the internet. We live in a world of half-truths, half-told stories, downright lies, and deception. The internet today is a vast knowledge base of information. In 5 minutes, I can look up about anything and pretty much know anything humanly known on that subject. I can get good factual information if I know where to go and I know how to look for that information. But it's also a vast propaganda machine fueled by ideological bloggers and people with axes to grind. Yahoo News is a good example. I have Yahoo News, and I've had it for years, and I don't want to change it because you know, everyone knows my email, and I've got so many things linked to my email, so I don't want to change it. But I go on Yahoo News, and I just see propaganda after propaganda. I see all these articles talking about how good homosexuality is for our culture. I mean, usually every day there's at least one homosexual article. I also see a lot of articles puffing up the current regime we see. There's never any negative response or critical analysis. It's always, you know, maybe the president golfed today, or he's got a dog or whatever. You know, I mean, you always see these things that are, you're never critical. And I believe no matter what political leaning that president should be, the media should always be critical of them, because that is how our country is set up. We need to always test and validate our public officials. Conspiracists love the internet. I'm sure you all know that. Anything that goes on in the world is a good blog story, or how it is tied to the Illuminati, Bilderbergers, Luciferians, and I kid you not, humanoid reptilians. And if you have not seen that, it is true. There's people out there that believe there's reptilians amongst us, but they're very good. They're very good at being hiding in the shadows. So you never see them, but they're there. I've went to several of these websites in the past, and all the facts at the end there is no facts. It's almost like you just read a fictional story, and you just wasted your time. Arthur Schopenhauer said, "The person who writes for fools is always sure of a large audience." And I think that's really true. Websites like Snopes.com or FactCheck.com do a great job of pointing out some of these things. I was going to read some of them, but I'm starting to run out of time here. I wanted to get to religious propaganda, so I'm going to move on. But sadly, we're not immune to this negative propaganda. When I say us, I mean this ministry. People like to, as Jose pointed out, put us in a box, because if they can put you in a box, then they can belittle you and make fun of you. A recent search on the internet brought up a few comments regarding this ministry. Here's one person said this. This was a person was asking a question about us. Said, "After looking over their site, I will be praying that you will be able to minister the gospel to your friend, because it is so corrupted in their beliefs. Cult is the right word." So my question is, keeping the Sabbath, the laws, the feast days of the Messiah and the apostles, the same ones that he kept, is now considered corrupt. So if we keep the feast days, we use his name, we are corrupted. I guess the Old Testament, they weren't corrupted because that was a different dispensation. I don't know. But anyway, so if we do those things, we're now corrupt. If you are looking for a dedicated group of people, we had this on our website, someone posted this on there, who will not compromise with error and who have gone beyond playing church, then we invite you to get in touch with us. They said, "Translation, Join us and we will control every aspect of your life. It's humorous. If they've never been here, they've never seen us, they don't know us, but they jump to these conclusions. Here's another. I know I'm running over here. I got to wrap this up. It said, to them, the Trinity is heretical, making them a Christian cult in the wrong Jesus sense, and baptism at age 20 is necessary to be free of our carnal nature. That's enough to know for me, however. Here is a blog anecdote detailing their legalism from another legalist perspective. I always thought it's interesting that the Trinity is considered a mystery because it can't be explained from Scripture, but if you question it, you're a heretic. I think the two key words you notice here are cult and legalism. Again, like Jose said, they're trying to put us in a box. They want to put us over here. Now they don't have to listen to anything we say because we've already been labeled, we've been marked. Let's make fun of them. Let's call them names, whatever it is. They're not going to seriously look at what we have to say because by putting us in a box, they've already won the argument. We all know that the term cult, of course, is slanderous, especially these days. It never used to be, but as you get more weird groups out there that, you know, drink the Kool-Aid and such, and the news calls them cults, now it's easy to just categorize someone who doesn't believe like them and put them into that category. Because basically we do not believe what the majority preaches today. Let's see if I can... There we go. Mark Twain said, whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to pause and reflect. I think that is so true. I wish I could keep on going on here. I actually have quite a bit of information, but I'm already 2 minutes over. So, three more minutes? Okay, I guess Mike says I got a few more minutes. So we'll trust Mike's clock, not that one back there. Okay, so what about the term legalists that we get constantly called? Where did this term derive its negativity? That'd be a question I'd like to know. Since when is it bad to obey the law? I mean, think about it for a second. Isn't the opposite what you'd be considered bad? We spend millions upon millions of dollars incarcerating people because they basically do not obey the law. So we fill these prisons. But when it comes to religion, obeying the law is bad. Now think about it. So the worldly aspect of it is, if you're in the world, law good. If you're in religion, law bad. I guess that's a simple way of putting it. But it is kind of funny when you try to break it down into that simple, you know, of a concept. I smell propaganda. I really do. Acts 24:14, if you turn there with me. It says there, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the Elohim of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Heresy would have been cult in those days. So, which they call cult, so I worship the Elohim of my fathers. We all know that most people today believe that the majority is always right. You talk to some people and they claim that the Roman Catholic Church must be right because they're the largest denomination. We, of course, all know the opposite is true. People generally gather where the message is easier, and they're going to gravitate towards that message. And that is why we see so many of these mega churches today. More and more people are leaving the smaller churches for these big, huge mega churches because that message is so easy. They can listen to some good music and then go home. They can park their car in their, after they hear the prosperity message, by the way, they park their Lexus in their four-car garage. And then that same day that they went to church, they go out to eat and everything else. So, the whole concept that we understand as a Sabbath and what even people understood, let's say, 50 years ago is gone. People don't really keep the Sabbath or even what they used to call the Sabbath, Sunday. They don't keep it like that anymore. It's all about them. And, of course, we know that's idolatry. And it's sad to say that's what we see today. But let me leave you with 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May Yahweh give each and every one of us the ability to discern truth, because it's a mess out there. Yahweh bless you.
excellent. So much good food for thought there. It was a feast between the two of them.